Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So yesterday's assignment, can you see how the voices are framing your choices to ensure that you never win? Example, if I spend the money on being indulgent, if I keep the money, I'm being selfish. What are the two choices the voices offer you? Record and listen to what you see. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Goli.
Hey, Goli.
Hi. I'm glad to hear everything is okay.
Yeah.
So this is so interesting because when we started this session of finances, the voices were saying, you know, you are good with a budget, so you absolutely don't need this. But, you know, I went through the exercise. So what I noticed yesterday about the two choices offered by the voices were that I can spend the money because there's somebody here who likes nice things. So I can spend the money and feel guilty and worry about the future of, you know, now you've spent that money, you don't have it if something happens. Or I can save the money and then feel frustrated about having to work so hard. And then when I get frustrated, I do other things to compensate. So, in other words, they say, yeah. So, you know, they say, well, you know, you couldn't, for example, remodel your bathroom, but you can go and get a nice slice of cheesecake to eat. So that will be a nice, you know, compensation. Right. So,
that's big, isn't it? To see how it's not just this, it's how it sets you up, and you're not alone in this, of course, how it sets us up to manipulate us in other ways. So you don't get to have that, but here, have cheesecake. And then, of course, now you've got another whole duality going, right? Should you eat that? Shouldn't you eat that? How do you feel if you do? You're deprived if you don't.
And then there's another duality too, because in the instances where I do spend the money, for example, you know, if I buy an item of clothing that I really like, then a lot of times I feel guilty, so I don't wear it.
Ooh.
So I'm allowed to have it as long as I don't use it. And then sometimes I feel, because, you know, for my job I have to dress professionally and so on, and sometimes I feel like it keeps going through my mind, I don't have anything to wear, I need to go shopping. And then I realize I have a lot of clothes, but I'm just only allowed to wear maybe 25% of them. So that's
Wow. Then there's nothing wrong with you. I think it's in There's Nothing Wrong With You. There's a reference to being allowed to have a new car, but not being allowed to keep it clean. It's that same kind of process, isn't it? So you can have it as long as you don't really have it, and especially as long as you don't enjoy it and you don't feel good about it. So go ahead and have it, and then it'll be something that's used to make you feel bad. Ooh, I bet you're going to change that, and I bet people are going to be surprised in the upcoming time about your marvelous wardrobe. They'll think you went on some kind of a real shopping spree, and actually you're just going through what's already in your closet.
Yes, they'll think I went on a shopping spree over spring break when I was actually at the monastery. So
right. Yeah, and hopefully there's an element in this for you, and I bet there is, of whatever you do, whether it's the cheesecake or it's wearing those clothes or it's allowing yourself to remodel the bathroom, you will enjoy whatever the choices are, because that is the thing that ego can't stand more than anything except being made fun of. It's having a person enjoy what they have and what they're doing.
Yes, thank you so much, Sherry, for that reminder. I noticed that a lot with eating, because it's something, of course, I do several times a day, that the foods that I really like, I eat them very fast. And so, again, this thing, as you know,
yeah,
you have it as long as you don't really enjoy it.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, so good to see, isn't it? Now Sorry. Your assignment doesn't have anything to do with stuff, right? It's what you're on to now is enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you, Goli.
To you and the monks for your hospitality during my 1 week stay. It was awesome.
Oh, best vacation ever, huh?
Yes, best vacation ever.
All right, thanks, Goli.
Thank you.
Thanks, Goli.
It truly is the fiendish part of conditioning, how much it leeches the joy out of being here in our life.
Mm-hmm.
But it
mm-hmm.
makes it about something other than enjoyment, right? It's always about achieving something or performing to something or something that we'll get, that mm-hmm. will then, whatever the condition is for enjoyment. And that's the fiendish
right.
part of it, that you know, you could just enjoy your life as it is and have everything you've got.
Right.
There's no criteria for joy.
That's right. And with what you're saying, what's clear about it is it's going to be in the future. It needs to be in the future. Enjoyment is in the future, right? So then when it's actually here, you don't get to enjoy it. And enjoyment only happens here.
Yeah. Yeah. Really bad choices.
Oh, I know. Ego. It's not a good decision maker.
Mm-mm. All right. Here's our next caller, Sherry. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller.
Hmm.
Hello? I guess not. We'll try one more time.
Okay.
Hello? Next caller? Okay. Well, I'm going to try someone else. Here we go.
Yeah, and you know, Ashwini, you're going in and out a little bit. I don't know if that's affecting the technology is causing that or people are getting shy or what, but.
Okay. There's someone else. Let me try and see if that works. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lucinda in Tahoe.
Oh, hey. Good. Hi.
I heard the announcer voice was like choppy. You know, the woman that comes
muted?
On. Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh, okay. So, she's choppy. Yes. Okay. So,
yeah.
Okay.
But I
Beyond
can hear you fine.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
What
right.
are you seeing?
Yeah.
What are you seeing about choices?
Well, so my focus is income for this session. And the duality I noticed was if I make money, I'm in that materialistic class of
greedy,
people who don't
selfish.
Care. Exactly.
Yeah. Just
and if
hate
I don't
it, yeah.
make money, I'm a loser and
deadbeat.
You know, yes, exactly. And the funny thing is I can spend money on things like a new program for my computer because it's part of my work. And it's like a dam breaks, like I resist it and I resist it and I've had the money all along. And then I go, oh, well, I just have to do it. Then I get the new computer, refurbished, of course, new computer and the program, and I don't enjoy it until I'm sitting down and using the new program.
Uh-huh.
And then I can go, oh.
And then you enjoy it. Then the person who really wants it and needs it and is able to enjoy it, which is distinct from you're going to use it to make money, which would make you a bad, selfish, horrible person. And then that other, you're not a deadbeat because you're working. That now we're in another duality,
right?
About
that,
what you do and what the work is, and
Well, it's interesting because there's part of my work that is authentic, life affirming, and doesn't get messed with that much. Is the joy in the curiosity and the discovery and the helping people and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what comes up when I'm using the program.
And, of course, that's why the resistance is there to getting the program. Right?
Right.
Because that's what ego is trying to sabotage. All of that feeling good and helping people and,
Wow.
Oh, it is fiendish, isn't it?
There's a timeline. It's like, I'll make her suffer in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
And now. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a twofer. It's a twofer.
Right.
She'll suffer now with the resistance and the all of that and the conversations that go with that. And then she won't be able to do the thing that she enjoys most and feels best about. So that's good. And and let's see how long we can keep that going on before she comes back to, oh, my gosh, I would do anything to be able to support the person who wants to do good and be helpful. And
that's right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I can tell you, I've been recording and listening more than ever, and it's been fabulous. Really, really
it's
helpful.
It's the deal, isn't it?
It really is. This work.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, if I had a prayer that would be, a wish that would come true for every human being on the planet, that would be it, hands down, no question. It would be before that everybody has a roof over their head or everybody has something to eat, ahead of everything, because that is the wide-open doorway to a life the life that we want.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll include all those other things. But it's going to come from a place of unconditional love and acceptance for the human being.
Right.
That's what's going to throw open all the windows for us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen myself go, oh, but I don't have the right device to record on right now. All I have is my phone, and I go ahead and do it anyway on my phone or whatever I have with me, and it's really that opens something up to not be held back by wanting it to be in a row or something like that.
Now, all the resistance, crapola.
Right,
yeah.
All the resistance, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
all
I'll
right.
see you
well,
in May.
Well, thank you. Oh, see you in May. Oh, very good.
See you in May.
Looking forward to it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, that's right.
You're
coming to the new retreat that just
I'm so excited because
me too.
I am so in love with that type of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's going to be a good time.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lucinda.
Thanks, Shirini. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
That thing about recording and listening, Sherry, it's just it makes all the difference. Really makes all the difference. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's so.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, it assists us to see conditions.
Oh, now you have to say that again because you went way underwater for me. It assists us to see.
conditioned mind so clearly.
Yes. Yes. And what have we all wanted for as long as we can remember? And everybody has a different way of saying this to themselves or feeling this, but it comes down to wanting to be loved unconditionally, wanting to be seen, understood, cared for, supported, assisted, all
heard.
Of those things. Heard. That's what we've wanted, and that's what this provides for us. So as soon as you have everything you've always wanted, you know, you're really positioned to enjoy life.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Here's our next caller. You are live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Lori.
Hey, Lori.
Hey. Hey, I don't know why I got so confused the last time about how I get myself unmuted. I was double. Anyway, but here we are. What I'm really exploring has to do with the process, the practice of generosity, and where it seems is that it's somehow easier to give, to be generous towards others. I mean, financially in particular, it's just if somebody, I don't know, it's just it goes easily, and then it seems more of a struggle to practice that in some ways, you know, for like something special, for example, like to actually spend money for myself.
So if I needed something,
yeah,
you wouldn't hesitate. You just do everything you could.
I wouldn't. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, to provide that.
That's right.
But then when it's Lori, now we have to have a different discussion.
There is a discussion, you know, with when it has to do with what seems to be a need or a desire to be of, you know, just to be generous or whatever that would be for another person. Mm-hmm. It's not even a conversation. That's something that's kind of interesting, because when you just said that, I realized that it's just kind of almost an immediate yes. Yeah.
But then, Lori, we need a conversation. Does she really need it? Does she deserve it? Is this really important?
Is it necessary? It's like that. And I'm looking at, and the other aspect that is really essential is how, you know, and how this will tie in the practice of receiving the generosity that is offered moment to moment from life. And you know, here in this beautiful North Carolina spring, it's like, it's just, there's hardly anything else to say except thank you. It's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Try to find a direction to look in where the only response isn't, oh my gosh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if I'm outside right now and it's not all necessarily beautiful, and yet then I look up at the sky. I mean, it's just there's always something that can be regarded with that incredible heart-opening thank you. Yeah.
And so then that conversation that has to come up for does she deserve, it's kind of is in stark relief, isn't it, when we turn attention to it? Where is that coming from? It's so different.
What a great question. Where is that coming from? How come there has to be like this incredible, you know, explore this to the thing to see, oh, is this really matter and going on and on about it instead of, oh, yes. How about just a simple yes as a practice? Uh-huh. Yeah,
as you say,
because it is really
when it's somebody else, as you say, when it's nature, as you say, just yes, thank you.
Yeah, and not to leave out this being right here is what I'm recognizing right now. I'm just kind of going, wow, that's what seems to happen there. Yeah,
yeah, and that's ego's whole deal, right? That's ego's
it
whole
is.
Deal. To make us believe that we are separate from life, as it is, That's what that whole system is. And if it can pull us into its dualistic world, then we'll support it. You know, we'll get into that conversation of, well, do I, don't I, should I, shouldn't I, is it okay, is it not okay? That's ego's world, and that's where it wants us. A simple yes closes that door.
Whoa, okay. Whoa. I really hear that, and I really feel that. I feel the mm-hmm. the power of that right now in hearing that, you know, and the having the practice and receiving generosity and just saying, yeah, okay, how about her? What about
yeah.
her? Yeah.
She's a great human being. How about
she's another one.
Her at the party. Yeah. Let's invite her.
Yeah. Let's invite
that's
her, yeah.
Great.
Oh, that's
all
great.
Right.
Well, thank you so much, and see
thank
you.
Thank you.
See
you
shortly.
Soon.
See you
very
soon in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In
looking
beautiful
forward.
North Carolina. Call the Cardinals, okay? Calling all Cardinals.
Oh, they are out. They're getting ready.
They're ready.
For you, Sherry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Lori.
Okay. Well, thank you
Bye-bye.
So much. Uh-huh. Bye.
Thanks, Lori. Sherry, the thing that was dropping in for me in that conversation is just the extent to which self-hate operates to dismiss that what we are is what anyone else is or what spring is, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, the reason there's no ability to be generous with ourselves is because we're identified with that separation, as you pointed out, which believes itself or which is the not-life process.
Yeah.
And even to think out, we have to do it in stages, right? Yeah, she is as disturbing as anything else. Comes from the recognition that she is everything else. There is no separation in the intelligence that animates animating all. And that's what we're so separate from, right? That's sort of what we get socialized away from, which is to recognize what animates everything.
Yes, yeah. And that's why not taking it personally is such a big deal. Right, because if we didn't have that sense of ownership of this person, then it would be inconceivable that we would treat this person that I call me any differently than anybody else. Why would you be generous with everybody else and stingy with this person? Well, that's not very nice. But as you say, we are so socialized to see ourselves as the exception, that and added to that, it's kind of the noble good person way to be. You know, well, I'm very careful with myself, and but with everybody else, I can be generous. That's the ideal. And we're adding the next piece up. Yeah, and I'm a part of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the same as everybody else.
And that is what the recording and listening conversation does for us, right? That's the recognition
yes.
that there's a way to disidentify from that separation to seeing through the eyes of love.
Yes.
And when we see through the eyes of love, we see that everything is the same.
Yeah. Yeah. And was it Thomas Merton who made that statement about, and I'm thinking about Lori here, you know, if you could really for a moment see yourself, and of course he's Christian, so if you could see yourself the way God sees you, you would have no choice but to drop down on your knees in gratitude.
Wonder. Yeah.
In wonder.
I don't know if it was Thomas Merton, but I could look it up.
Somebody said something like that. And
yes.
and we
it
can give a sense of it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So here we go. Next
right.
caller, you're not live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jessica from Oregon.
Oh, hello, Jessica.
Hi.
What's going on?
So I am looking at this process that happens where I have enough, right now in the present, have enough money, have everything that I need, but there is this constant worry that at some point there's not going to be enough. I'm not going to have what I need. I'm not going to have enough money. Something's going to happen. I'm going to be inadequate to, you know, make the money that I need to make, et cetera. So there's lots of dualities sort of contained within that. But the one that sort of sticks out is not being able to win, right? Yeah, that's what we're looking at. So there's lots of not being able to win in that. But yes. Yeah.
In those dualities, right? In those what Jen was talking about is two bad choices. Right?
Yes.
So you do this, and no, that's not, no, neither is that. And, well, how about this? No, that's not, and, well, neither is that. Yeah.
Right, right. So one of them, at least, is I can sort of, quote, accept things the way they are right now, but then I don't get to take any action. It's sort of this, like, this resignation, because a lot of this is sort of tied to, like, you know, I'm in career transition right now and in school, and there's things that, like, I genuinely want to do in terms of, like, income and stuff because I enjoy them. So it's like, if I'm not worrying, then I don't get to do anything. Or I can worry. I can
worry is the fuel.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I see this show up in so many areas all the time. It's like worrying is the fuel for the fire for the things that I am interested in doing.
Yeah. And it looks like that, Jessica. It really looks like that. But I'm going to ask you to look at something else. And that is that what's happening is that the conversation conditioned mind is revving you up to worry. And it's generating a ton of energy. And that ton of energy is actually being used by ego. So you're
yes,
allowed
I see
to,
that.
Yeah, you're allowed to do, but the doing is simply to position you again into one of these positions of two bad choices. And then you have to worry more, and then it uses that energy. So you're allowed to function because you are generating that energy that ego needs to stay in control of you.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what you said early on is to me, is the key to the whole thing. It's what we're going for here. Because, so I was listening
what
to
did I say?
Okay, I'll tell you in a second. To a guy the other day who said, you know, we have so many homeless people in this country, and I'm sure all over the world, but so many homeless people. And he said, you know, one of the kindest things we can do is just have a conversation with somebody. How did you get here? You know, almost nobody starts out homeless. How did you get here? And usually it's somebody lost a job. It was a medical situation. Something happened. They were, as most Americans are, living right on the edge of their income, and then something happened, and they wind up homeless, right? So they're not bad, lazy, stupid people. They're just something happened to them. And what we're doing here is ceasing to worry about that event because we know that regardless of what happens, we will be all right.
Right.
We will have the only thing that actually matters, right, which is a relationship with ourselves such that we will live in that unconditional love and acceptance regardless of circumstances.
Right. And, I mean, of course
you know
say
that.
And I've, yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, I've been, this has forced me to sort of look at that and explore that. And I know it's the truth. So then the worry is, you're right, it's just that, that ego
and
energy
it's that,
break.
It's that wisdom that will actually fuel your choices for yourself. It's that awareness that what I'm actually doing is learning to be in the present, following life's guidance, taking care of the human being. That's what's going to enable you to hear the guidance and move in the direction that is most beneficial for you.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So that guidance, that like knowing that everything is okay is what informs my choices.
Yes, yes. And it doesn't mean, this is really important, okay, it doesn't mean that everything always goes the way the voices in our head say it should go. Because difficulties, mm-hmm. you know, if you're going to go on a fitness program, you're going to have to use a lot of muscles that are not happy about being used or not ready to be used. And the voices will have a lot to say about it. So getting stronger mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually requires the same thing. As Ashwini framed it, we have to encounter what we need to transcend. So we mm-hmm. come up against something that's difficult, we get to the other side and realize, ah, okay, I see. Okay, what's now? Mm-hmm. And we face the next hurdle and we get over that and the next one and the next one. And that's how we build that sense that I am completely taken care of, I'm absolutely all right, I'm equal to my life, everybody is, this is good.
Mm. Right.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, right. Thank you. There's a lot of that happening right now, so.
All right. And we'll see
you
before long, right?
Yeah, 3 weeks, I think, 3-ish weeks.
All right.
We're getting ready.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Jessica. And Jerry, there was a lot in that conversation, but we're at the end of our time. So our assignment from today, sorry, I'm trying to mute Jessica.
She'll be quiet.
As you read over how suffering happens for you, can you get a sense of the karma behind this issue? What beliefs, assumptions, projections, behavior do you consistently choose that result in suffering? Example, the good, right person thing to do is to be generous. Above all else, I must not be selfish. That's the karmic choice I make over spending money on what takes care of me. Record and listen to what you see.
Mm. Oh, we're closing in, aren't we? It's very good. Thank you, Ashwini. And thank you, everybody.
Thank you,
so
Sherry.
Happy.